Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. He was restored, saw every man clearly. Would you lift your hands this morning and ask the Holy Ghost to help us and anoint us to preach to you? I want to preach verse number 24. The Bible said after Jesus had touched him, took him out of town, touched his eyes, he asked him if he's... How in our words, you know, how's it going? Can you see? How you doing? The man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And if God will help me this morning, I want to preach on I'm better, but it's not my best. I'm better, but it's not my best. Here's a man that somehow throughout the course of his life has lost his sight. It's apparent through this text, later in the text, it's apparent that this man wasn't born blind. He knew what trees looked like. He knew what men looked like. So he wasn't born blind, but somewhere through his life, he lost his sight. And here in this text, we see him. And notice with me, these men that brought him, it's much like the story in the Bible where the man was born of four and brought him to Jesus. This man didn't come to Jesus of his own free will, on his own accord, but he was brought there. And I want you to notice with me this morning, this blind man comes to Jesus. He's brought there by his friends. And I want to preach for a few minutes before I get into my text that he was brought there to Jesus. And notice, this man never opens his mouth. He never says a word, but when he's brought to Jesus, the Bible said his friends, they besought Jesus, or they begged Jesus. They asked him, Lord, please heal this man. And I don't know this morning, I really don't know their motives of why they brought him to Jesus. I don't know if it was genuine concern for their friend, or maybe it was the fact that this man's blindness was affecting them as much as it was him. Could it have been? Because understand this blind man, he required constant attention. He required constant care. He couldn't be left alone. He couldn't function on his own. He couldn't see. It wasn't like we get in a dark place, our eyes adjust to the light, and we can make out figures. This man was absolutely blind. So understand, his blindness was affecting his friends as much as it was him. They had to wait on him hand and foot. They had to be there for him. They had to lead him. They had to guide him. And they understood, if we can get him to Jesus, I believe Christ can heal him to the place where he'll be able to stand on his own, where he'll be able to take care of himself. And it's not my main point this morning, but it's worth mentioning that there's a lot of people, a lot of young people and older people alike in the house of God. They require constant attention. You know people like that, don't you? They require constant attention. It seems like that they always have to be propped up. They always have to be led alone. They always have to be extra care given to them. Always praying for them, always fasting for them. But it's a lot like this man, it seems like, and I don't want to take it out of context, but he never opens his mouth till Jesus asks him a question. It's almost like he didn't care as much about his own situation as the people around him did. He had come to grips with reality that this is just the way I am. This is the way I'll always be. But he had a group of friends around him that tells him, we need you to get better because we need to be able to live our own life. We need to be able to live life without always having to worry if you're going to make it to the next week, if you're going to make it to the next camp. We need you to get better. We need you to get healed because you need to get to a place in your life where you can stand on your own. I've seen those people. They're always struggling and battling and warring, and we'll get to the reason for that later. But what really bothers me is when I see people, we've got them at our church, young people, that I know our pastor, Brother Vic, he's wept over them. He's cried over him. He's texted me in the middle of the night over him. He's cried. He's wept. He's talked to him. He's went to him. The whole church is tore up about it, but they really act like they could care less. It doesn't bother them that a whole, it doesn't bother them at all. They act like they could care less, and that's where this man, his friends are begging Jesus, God, I need you to heal him. Lord, he's about to drive us crazy. God, we're doing everything we can to help him, but we need him to be healed. That's where this man is at. And that's not my main text, but notice with me a few things about this text. And I'll try to get to where I want to preach from. Notice he's still silent. He hasn't said a word. It's really not clear if he even wants help at all. He never asked Jesus, would you heal me? Could you help me? Would you help me? He doesn't say a word, but I want you to look at this text. There's two things about this text that cannot be denied. In verse number 23, Jesus took him out of town. He spit on the ground, made clay, and put it in his eyes. There's no denying the fact that this man has been touched by Jesus. One thing's for sure, once someone has been touched by the Lord, there's no denying that touch. To understand that this man has now been touched by those divine hands that the Bible said that created everything that was. It was those hands that reached down into the dirt and made clay and put them on his eyes and touched him. Understand it's the same hands that created the world. The same hands that made the stars and the moon has now touched this man. And you know as well as I do that once a man or a woman has been touched by the Lord, their life will never be the same. I've seen people come to the house of the Lord and get touched by God and go away and never pray. But you better believe one thing, they're never the same again. There's always something in the back of their mind that says, I never felt anything that felt like it felt when the hand of God touched me. Do I got anybody that's ever been touched by the hand of God? You know what it is to feel a holy God reach down with divine hands and place his hand on your life. There's nobody else that can touch you like Jesus. He'll never be the same. There's no denying the fact that he's touched by Jesus. We still don't know where he's at because he hadn't said anything. But that's where we're at this morning. We see him all the time in church. We see him at youth camp. They come to our altars, Brother Vic, and they're weeping. And they're crying and they're broken before God. They're praying about sin. They're praying about issues in their life they're struggling with. They're battling. We see people pray, get up from the altar. They let joy in their life. It seems like they're going to be good. And there's not a doubt in anybody's mind that Jesus Christ has touched their life. Isn't it obvious to us when Jesus touches somebody? I've seen them get up by the altar. They didn't know what they were supposed to do. And they just cried and wept. I've seen some shout and rejoice. I've seen them do all kind of things. And it was an evident sign that forever now there would be a mark on their life that they had been touched by Jesus. One lady said this after she prayed to get saved. The pastor asked her to testify. My father-in-law was there. She didn't know what to say. She wasn't church. She wasn't like a lot of you. She didn't know all the right things to say. She just said, preacher, it feels like I took a bath on the inside. She had been touched by the Lord, just like all of us have, and you have been. Some of us got touched yesterday. And there's one thing about being touched by the Lord. You may go on your own way and do your own thing, but there'll always be a stamp on your life, marked indelibly, that the Master has touched me. And once you come in contact with Jesus Christ, you can never again live the same kind of life without having that in your mind, that I have been touched. There's no denying it, that he had been touched. Not only that, I want you to notice with me, when Jesus asked him if he saw aught, he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Not only is it undeniable that he had been touched, but it was undeniable that he was better. Would you agree with me that this man was better? He had lived a lot of his life in obscure darkness. Couldn't see anything. I remember here a few weeks ago, we took our young people to DeSoto Caverns back home. And on that cave tour, when you get down into that cave, one of the things they do is shut out all the lights. And it's complete and total darkness. There's only a few places that you can get complete total darkness. And one of them is in a cave. And brother, they turned them lights off, and I tried to get my eyes to adjust. I tried to get where I could see something, but it was absolute darkness. There was no way to make out. That's where this man had been living at. We don't know how long, but for a long period of time in his life, he lived in darkness. If he went anywhere, he had to be led there. If he done anything, somebody had to help him. He was totally dependent on somebody else. He couldn't do anything for himself. So when Jesus asked him, how's it going? He said, I see men as trees walking. You'd have to agree with me that he's doing better than he was. Now he can make out shapes. He can make out forms. He can see a little bit. So seeing a little bit and seeing men as trees walking is better than not being able to see at all. Now there is a possibility. It's a slight possibility, but there is a possibility he could care for himself, that he wouldn't be so dependent, that he may be able to do a little bit on his own. He can see a little bit. So it's better. An older still, up to this point, he's not said a word. But notice now he's doing a little bit better, Brother Vic. He sees men as trees walking. But I'm preaching to you this morning on I'm better, but it's not my best. Because when I look at this, there's no denying he really got touched by the Lord. There's no denying that he's really better. But I want to preach to you like a lot of people come in the house of God. Jesus touches them. They really get touched. And brother, when they get up from the altar, they're doing better than they was before they came. They're not living quite as bad as they were. They're not listening to music that is as bad. They're not watching things that are as bad. They're living a little bit better. They're talking better. They're acting better. The places they go aren't as bad. But I want to preach to you this morning. And the way some people are living, it doesn't take a whole lot to live better than what they're doing. If you're living as an alcoholic, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to be better than that. If you're living addicted to pornography, it doesn't take much to be better than that. If you're living bound by sin and iniquity, it doesn't take a whole lot. Yes, Jesus can touch you, and you may be doing better, but I come to preach to you this morning that better isn't good enough. Better isn't what Jesus is after this morning. That's why some people come to church, they pray, there's not a doubt in my mind Jesus touches them. They get up from the altar and they do better. They quit some things. They give up some things. They come to church more. They frequent the places of the world less, but there's still something in their heart that they are not doing their very best. They're giving God a little bit. Jesus asked him, he said, I see better than I did, Lord. I'm doing better than I was, but he wasn't at his full potential. He wasn't at the place Jesus wanted him to be, and that's where a lot of young people are at. That's the reason this morning that some of you are still struggling with the same things you struggled with for years, because you were praying an altar and you'll feel better, but you never give God your best. You'll look around and say, God, I'm doing better. I'm not being as bad as I was. I'm not sinning as much as I was, but there's still something in your life that you refuse to give to God, and you can honestly say, I'm doing better than I was, but I don't want to know this morning if you're better. I want to know, young people, if you're giving God your very best. Jesus isn't interested in making you better. Rehab can make you better. Am I right? There's people that go to rehab. They're not completely free, but they're not drinking as much as they was. They're not doing drugs as much as they was. They're not as bound as they was. But understand me this morning, Jesus is not interested in better. He didn't die and shed his blood so you could be better. He died and he demands of us this morning to give our very best. When he come to Abraham, when God come to Abraham and asked him to give his son, he had two sons. He had Ishmael and Isaac. He didn't ask for Ishmael because Ishmael didn't mean that much. But when he wanted to get to Abraham's heart, he said, I want the very best that you've got. I want you, and that's what I want to preach to you this morning. Young people, there's some of you that's been playing for years. You've been praying and doing better, praying and doing better. And I'm calling you to challenge you this morning. And it's time to quit doing better. And it's time to give God your very best. Those things you're still holding on to in your heart that you think you can live for God and have them too. It's time to give it all to God this morning and sell out to God and do your best. I was riding down the road a few weeks ago. I was praying about something. I don't even remember what it was. And I don't say this very often, but Brother Vic, I know when it happens. I'm riding. I was praying, and I said, I don't remember what it was. I said, God, whatever it was, I said, God, I want to do better about that. I felt like the Lord spoke to me. Right out of the, I'm not smart enough to think of this stuff, so it had to be the Lord. He said, I feel like the Lord spoke to me, said that better is the worst enemy of best. Better is the worst enemy of best. Because some of you feel like because you're doing better that that's good enough. Some of you feel like because you're not living quite as bad as you was that it's okay. But understand what Jesus did. He touched this man again because he wasn't interested in this man walking away, stumbling around, saying, I see men as trees walking. I'm doing better. Jesus wanted him to leave completely delivered. And I want to preach to some young people this morning. That's where you're at right now. You've been doing better. But you're still on the borderline. You've been doing better, but you're really not sold out. You've been doing better, but you hadn't thrown the towel all the way in and said, God, I'm going to go with you. How do you know, preacher? Because you're still doing some of the same stuff you've always done. You're still listening to some of the same things you've been listening to. You're still watching the same things. You're still going the same places. You're saying, I'm better, but Jesus wants to know, are you giving him your best? A lot of people want to pray. I know what I'm talking about this morning. A lot of people want to pray, Brother Vic, and they want to do better. They want to do just enough to get by. They want to know how close to the world can I live and still live for God. How much of the world can I have in my life and still live for God? Can I still listen to my music and live for God? Can I still watch my television or my DVD or Netflix on my phone and still live for God? Can I still have all that? Can I still look at things on the internet? I don't look at stuff that is as bad, but there's still issues. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning because there's young people that's got the idea in their mind that as long as I'm doing better, that there's a lot of people that's doing better that's going to split hell wide open because they haven't given everything to Jesus. Jesus didn't go through everything he went through so you could be a little better. He wants your very best. He wants you to give it all. Romans, I said it Saturday night, Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He wants the best. You know if you're giving him your best. We took a show of hands, we're not going to do it. But you know if you're giving God your best or not. That's why people struggle. I struggled, Brother Vic. Man, you talked a little bit when I preached for you. I was 17, 18, right in the air. I wanted church. I loved to be around God's people. But there was a pull on my life from the world. Brother, I'd pray and I'd feel better. And then but Brother Vic, there was such a pull going on. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be in that crowd, and I wanted to do those things, and I was struggling back and forth. I would do better, but until I come to a place in my life where I said, God, this is what I'm going to do. That's really where it's at this morning, young people. When you make up your mind, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to live clean. When you make that decision, you throw everything in and say, all right, God, I'm going to go with you. I'm giving you everything. God's not going to play second fiddle to any of your pet sins. He's not going to accept anything less than everything from you. But I want to preach to you this morning that if you're willing to give God everything, he's willing to give you everything he's got. I want to preach to you that if you can give it up this morning, you can have it all. If you want the glory of God in your life, it only comes through complete dedication and consecration to the Lord. But if you're just satisfied doing better, I don't know about you, but I remember those times in my life. It was the most miserable days of my life, brother, when I was in those times where I was struggling because I really wanted to do right, but there was a battle going on, and I was miserable. If that's the way you want to live the rest of your life, then I guess that's up to you. But if you want to get to a place where you can live in victory, if you want to get to a place where you're not always struggling, because I don't know about you, I don't like to be dependent on anybody. I don't like nobody to have to prop me up and brace me up. But that's where a lot of you young people are at right here this morning. A lot of you, if it wasn't for your pastor, you'd be backslid this morning. If it wasn't for a praying mama and a praying daddy, you'd be out of church this morning because you've always leaned on somebody else. Well, they're going to pray for me. They'll bail me out. They'll get me out of trouble. But I want to preach to you young people for a few more minutes this morning. And it's time for some of you to learn how to stand on your own. It's time for some of you to pray through to a place in God where you don't need a crutch and you don't need a brace. You don't need anybody to lead you around, but you're stable on your own two feet. And that only comes when you're giving Jesus your very best. I don't want you to leave this youth camp and say, I feel better. That's one of my, I don't know if you say pet peeves, but somebody get in the altar and we'll pray with them. Angela, we'll pray with them for 30, 45 minutes. We'll beat the altar. They'll cry and we'll cry. And Lord, we'll have a time and we'll shout and rejoice thinking, man, they're really getting somewhere. Then when they get up, you ask them to testify. Boy, they say, I feel better. Really? Anybody feels better after you cry for a while. Anybody feels better after you get in that company for a while. But we're not interested in you praying this week, young people, till you feel better. I believe there's some young people prayed around here last night till they not only felt better, but they give God everything. And that's what I want. That's what I want to see when we leave this camp this week, is some young people that's giving God everything. What time we go to, Brother Vic? I want to see some young people this week give God everything. You won't be satisfied till you do. You won't be happy till you do. But I tell you what you will do. If you got a praying mama and daddy like I do, and I've got some family that ain't doing just right, tell you what you will do, young people. How many of you love your mama and daddy? Got praying moms and daddies. I tell you what you will do. You'll drive your mom and daddy crazy. You'll drive your mom and dad. My sister right now is struggling. She literally about drove my mom and daddy crazy. Drove the pastor, not just her, young people in general. That when you see them, it does something to a preacher, or mom, or dad, or a friend when you see them come to an altar and weep and cry and beg God for mercy and God and stand and say I'm saved and stand and say God save me, and man, you feel so good and it lifts you up. But I tell you, there's nothing more heartbreaking when they don't come back to church the next service. There's nothing more heartbreaking when you see them slipping back into the same old lifestyle. There's nothing more heartbreaking. You say, what's going on? They felt better. They got better, but they didn't give God everything. Somebody get us a song this morning. I don't know how we do it in here. If somebody can get us a song. And I want to ask you this morning, young people, and you're the only one that can answer this question. Are you giving God your best, or are you just doing better? Are you really prayed through this morning and ready to give God everything he asked for? I believe with all my heart that's why some of you struggle as much as you do, because God's talked to your heart. God's dealt with your heart. He's asked you for Isaac. You tried to give him Ishmael. He's asked you for things in your life, and you're trying to hold on to those things. You want to bargain with God. God asks you for this. You say, well, God, I'll give you that. I understand this morning, the only place in the Bible I see where you can reason with God is when he said, come, let us reason together for salvation. But when God speaks to your heart about something, I was talking to somebody last night, it may have been Brother Vic. I said, it's amazing, a lot of people backslide and come back and get saved. And they got this idea that God's got to re-deal with them about everything. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like that's the case. Once God places his finger on something in your life, it's as good as done. When God places his finger on something in your life, it becomes God's word to you. It becomes sin to you. And until you're willing to give him everything, you'll struggle, you'll battle, you'll pray and you'll go back. You'll pray and you'll go back. You'll pray and you'll go back. But you know this morning right here while I'm talking to you, you know that thing that's in your mind right now that God's talking to you about. God's been talking to you about. And would you stand with me this morning? My question to you is, are you willing to give God your best? If this is what you want to do, if this is the way that you want to live, this is what you really want, you're going to have to give God everything. If not, you're going to struggle. be in and out, back and forth. But if you want to be consistent, if you want to be stable, you're going to have to give God everything. While she begins to play, do I have any young person that step out, come to this altar? Don't mean you're not living right, but you just say, "Preacher, there's some things in my life me and God's been talking about, and I want to give God my best this morning. I'm tired of struggling." Here's one young man that's got an honest heart. Is there more? Here's some young men. God's been dealing with me. God's been talking to me. And up to this point, I haven't been willing to give it all to God. But I want to give God my very best this morning. I don't want to hold anything back from God. I want to give it all to Him. Let's all come around this altar, young people. We got time to pray. Adults, we'll gather in here. If you don't have anywhere to go, we'll gather in around them and help them pray. Let's give God our best, young people. You want to end that struggle, end that battle, give everything to God. I promise you, you won't give up one thing for God that He doesn't replace it with something better, that He doesn't give you back something better in your life. Come on, let's pray. Let's seek the Lord.